I want to just begin by congratulating everybody for coming. This is it's an important step to recognize a need, and in some cases a lack, and therefore to even at whatever stage of life to be able to try to fill in some of the components of education which may have been missing along the way. So it's a tremendous credit to everybody who's here tonight. Now, when we look at the concept of an introduction to Gemara, so we have to understand a little bit of the background. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos which says that there are different ages which people need to begin learning different aspects of learning. So it says at 5 you begin studying Mikra. Mikra means Chumash, Tanakh, the Bible. At age 10 you start studying Mishnah. And at age 15 you start studying Talmud. So what's the assumption? Before you get to Talmud, you've at least on a base level have been through Mikra and Mishnah. You've been through Tanakh, you've been through the Mishnayos, and now with 10 years of education and 10 years of having studied things, and of course having language, the language skills presumably, now we're ready to open up the pages of the Talmud. So we don't have 10 years. Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're going to, I feel that it's very important at least to have a base introduction of what the wealth of Torah knowledge is, and you'll see why it's important to at least have an awareness of the names of the books that exist, so that when we see how the Talmud is structured, we'll at least understand what we're talking about. So if you look at the very first page in the package which you have, you see, ignore the right side. This is just taken from another booklet. So the very right side just lists the names of the Hebrew months that we're not looking at. Okay, the next two columns at the very top, it says Chaf Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. So on the right column, you have the 24 books of the Tanakh, starting with the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the 5 books of the Torah, Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Bamin Bar Devarim. Then you have the 8 books of Navi, the works of the prophets. Those are numbers 6 through 13. Number 13 is expanded. That's Treyasar. Those are what are sometimes called in English the minor prophets. They are not minor prophets. Their books were smaller. So their books were combined into one larger book, which is called Treyasar. Treyasar means 12. And so they are enumerated on the left where it says Treyasar. The bottom, numbers 14 through 24, are the books of Ksuvim, the books of writings, and that rounds out the books of the Tanakh. Of course, you'll notice in there you have the 5 Megillahs, and it even notes that they're the Hey Megillahs, numbers 17 through 21, Shir HaShirim, Rus, Eicha, Koheles, Esther. Those are the more famous ones because we read them in Shul, and the other books as well. Tehillim, obviously, is well known. In the very left side, you have what's called the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. The Shisha Sidrei Mishnah are the 6 orders of the Mishnah. These are the structure that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put together for the for what we now essentially call the Talmud. We're going to get to the distinction between Talmud and Gemara in a couple minutes. But it's divided into 6 sections, and each of these sections has a major focus or a major theme. Zraim, which has 11 mesechtas. Every book in the Talmud is called a mesechta or a meseches. That in English it's called a tractate. So Zeraim, the word Zeraim literally means seeds. So with the exception of the first one, which is Brachos, which talks about, guess, anybody want to take a guess what it talks about? Brachos. Okay, Brachos and davening and things related to that nature. Everything else talks about things related to seeds, planting, things that grow in the land of Israel, for example. And they grow anywhere, but the rules associated with things which grow in the land of Israel. And so some of these things you'll be familiar with. I mean, I think people know what Bikurim are. The first fruits, for example, that's number 11. Number 9 is Challah. So Challah is the mitzvah of taking a little portion of dough, which would once upon a time be given to the Kohen. Nowadays we burn it. Okay, and other things also, number 5 is Shavuos, so the rules of Shemitah, the 7th year, the sabbatical year. The second section is called Moed. Moed is probably the one we're all most familiar with, whether we know it or not. But these of course, are the laws of all the holidays. And even if you don't know that much Hebrew, you'd be familiar, as long as you can read Hebrew, you know what these things are talking about. Shabbos, anybody want to take a guess? Shabbos, very good. Okay, Eruvin talks about the rules of Eruv. which of course is an offshoot of Shabbos. Psachim talks about the rules of Psachim. Skip to number five. Number five is Yoma, refers to the day being Yom Kippur. Sukkah is number six. Number eight is Rosh Hashanah. Number nine is Tainis, talks about fast days and things related to, of that nature. Number 10 is Megillah, dedicated to a large part to Purim. Moed Katan talks about, it has a lot of discussion about Avelus, the laws of Avelus, which are actually doing in Shul in the night times between Mincha and Maariv these days. And Chagiga deals more with Karbanos. The third section is Nashim. So these relate primarily to the relationships between men and women. Let's see, number two is Ksubos, for example. So those, it talks a lot about the rules of the marital document, but in addition to that, there are other rules of documents which come up there, as well as number six. Number six is Gittin, the opposite end of the marital document, the document which ends a marriage. Number seven is Kiddushin, and other things are you know, on the surface, they may talk about things related to men and women, but obviously all of Gemara talks about many different subjects. Nezikin talks about damages, tort law. All of these titles, with the exception of Avos, number nine, refer to things which take place in the courtroom. I don't even know why Avos is specifically in Nezikin. It might be thematically connected, but Avos is one which many people are familiar with because of the study of Pirkei Avos, and Avos doesn't really have Gemara. It's only Mishnayos and Brisas, and we'll get back to what all those phrases mean. The last two, Kodshim and Taharos, deal primarily with things related to Tumah and Tara and the Beis HaMikdash, or the temple. Those things, we don't practice those today simply because there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, with the exception of Nida, of course. Nida and some laws of Mikvah are still practiced today. But by and large, Kodshim and Taharos, just as an example, they're not usually studied in yeshivas simply because, as far as their relevance to our day-to-day lives today, there's less to it. It doesn't mean that there isn't a lot to be taken out of it. I mean, the Gemara Menachos, for example, which I'm not sure why it's not on this list. Okay, it's odd that it's not here. Oh, no, it's there. It's in Kutcher, number two. The Gemara Menachos has a lot of agaritas and laws related to tefillin, for example, which are very relevant to our lives. But nonetheless, Kutcher and Taurus are by and large not learned in yeshivas. For the most part, what's learned in yeshivas are Moed, Nashim and Nezikin, and just about anything is fair game. I do remember one of my rebbeim telling me when he was in the dating game. So he'd walk into the house of the girl that he was meeting, and if the father happened to be very learned, he would say to him, "So what are you learning in yeshiva today?" And he would say, "So if you look at in Kodshim number seven, Krisus," he would say Krisus, because nobody learns Krisus. So he knew that even a Talmud Chacham father-in-law couldn't ask him questions about Krisus. So that was his way of getting out of that that question. Okay, so anyway, this is the you have to at least be aware of these books by name, and more or less where to find them, because of what we're going to get to in a couple of minutes. Okay, so that's, of course, these handouts are for you to keep and to peruse through. Okay, next page. One of the key pieces that is necessary when learning Gemara is to be able to read another font, a font which is called Rashi script. So this is a chart which I made for my kids, which basically shows that where all the asterisks are, that's where you have a major difference in the letter. Okay, but by and large, most of the letters in a Rashi script, if you just think of it as a different font, they're very similar to the letters which we are with which we are familiar, with the few exceptions. And so it's important just to learn those exceptions in the Aleph and the Beis and the Zayin, in the Tzadi and the Shin, for example, to be able to read Rashi script. This is not a class in reading Rashi script, but it's a class in introduction to Gemara. In order to be able to get through important pieces of Gemara, for example, reading the commentary of Rashi, you have to be able to read this font. Okay, so that's here, and it's a code. We move on. Okay, next page. Another important thing that is necessary in order to at least navigate the pages of the Gemara is to know what the Hebrew letters' values are. So on the right side, you have the numerical value of the Aleph Beis. The letters Aleph through Yud are easier than the other ones, because as long as you know the order of those letters, then you'll know what their values are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. You can skip the bottom of the right column and the middle column. Actually, no, don't skip it. You have to understand the way that it goes from there is it takes the yud, for example, which is 10, and adds each of the single values, 1, 2, 3, 4. So that's how you get yud aleph, yud beis, yud gimel, and yud dalet. The only exception to all of these rules is going to be numbers 15 and 16, which are tesvav and tezayin, which is 9 plus 6 and 9 plus 7. And the reason is because if you were to spell yud and hey, that's God's name. So we don't do that when writing out a number. And similarly, yud and vav are two of the letters from God's name, the yud kei and vav kei, so we just don't put those together. And instead, for 15 and 16, we have an exception. But otherwise, everything else follows that formula. In the 20s, in the 30s, in the 40s, for example, where you have chaf for number 20. So 21 would be chaf aleph. How would you write out 26? Chaf. Chaf vav. Okay, how would you write out, knowing this code, how would you write out 88? Anybody? Pei ches. Okay, so I'm sure some of you know this already, but this is an introductory class, so I have to assume that this is information which might be new, and therefore to be able to navigate. So this is the type of thing, it just requires a little bit of study, but with a little bit of practice, you can write out, I mean, the longest Maseches that I think that exists is 176. So as long as, 176 pages. So as long as you can navigate the numbers 1 through 176, you're in good shape. Okay? So that's what you need to be able to do, because if you ever open a Gemara, and you're told, we're on page Ayin Zayin, Ayin Zayin is 77, but how do you get to Ayin Zayin? Well, you have to know the order of the way the numbers go in order to be able to get there. Okay. The last thing which is important pre-looking at the actual Gemara is just some of the important works of halacha that surround the Gemara, some of which are quoted by, they're not quoted by the Gemara predates them, but the editors of the Gemara put in references to where a discussion in the Gemara, a halachic discussion, a matter pertaining to Jewish law, is actually addressed in those Jewish codes, in the law codes. So those law codes are the Shulchan Aruch. So if you look at the on the left side of the same page where it says on the very top, Dalid Chelke Shulchan Aruch. These are the four sections of Shulchan Aruch. So here you have Orach Chaim, Yoredeya, Choshen Mishpat, Eben HaEzer. If you look to the left of each of those, it gives you a summary of what halachas, what areas of Jewish law are more or less touched upon in these books. So Orach Chaim talks about regular daily living, davening, a lot of eating rules are in there as well, like brachos, for example, Shabbos, Yantif, etc. That's in Orach Chaim. Yoredeya talks about other further areas of Jewish law. For example, shchita, melicha, vasar b'chalav, these are different ways of making food fit to be eaten. That's not the same as the rules of how to conduct a meal, which exists in Orach Chaim, but what makes food ready to be eaten, ready to be put on your plate. So the animal has to be slaughtered, the meat has to be salted, the blood needs to be removed, you can't mix meat and milk when you're cooking, etc. Bris milah, the Pidyon HaBen, the redeeming of the firstborn, studying Torah, laws of mezuzah, mourning, the rules of Nida, a menstruant woman, and the marital relations thereof, are, meaning related to those laws specifically, are in Yoredeya, whereas other laws of marriage are in Eben HaEzer, that's the fourth section. Choshen Mishpat primarily deals with tort law, the rules of going to court, and if people, gezeila v'aveda, you see here, stealing things which are laws, shtaros, documents, etc. That is Choshen Mishpat, and I mentioned Eben HaEzer a moment ago. Those are Shulchan Aruch, and where you're going to be finding these laws. The last thing which you have here is just a list of some of the key works. The last two are not going to appear in the Gemara, Mishnah Brura and Igros Moshe. Again, this is a list that I just got from somewhere else. But you have here on the left side, you see the authors. The Rambam, that's Maimonides. So his Yad Chazaka, his Mishnah Torah, is going to be noted and quoted a lot in the footnotes in the Gemara. The next book is the Arba Turim, the Tur, That is written by Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher. That's the son of one of the great commentaries on the Gemara, whose name was Rabbeinu Asher. So this is his son, Rabbi Yaakov, who divided up the halachic code into that format of Orach Chaim, Yoredei, Choshen Mishpat, and Evan HaEzer. And he gave a lot of the debates, and he didn't always give a conclusion. In other words, sometimes we'll say, well, this one has this opinion, this one has this opinion, but not always giving a conclusion. So the Shulchan Aruch, which is the next one, was written by Rabbi Yosef Karo, in which he gave a definitive halacha, for the most part, in most places. Sometimes he'll also mention two opinions, but by and large, he gave a decision, and therefore a halacha, which is what we follow. It's the basis for a lot of the halachic Judaism that we follow today, is the Shulchan Aruch. And the Hagos Ramah, that's Rabbi Moshe Isserles, those are his comments. Sometimes it's considered to be a gloss, a glossary of some kind, added to the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Moshe Isserles lived in Poland, so his comments primarily reflect the halacha of the Ashkenazi communities, whereas Rabbi Yosef Karo, who lived in Tzfat for a good portion of his life, reflected the halacha as per the Sephardic community. So where there's a difference, Rabbi Isserles makes a comment, but where there isn't a difference, it is we just follow what the Shulchan Aruch says. Okay, turn the page. Now we get to Gemara. Okay? The page which you have in front of you is I guess the best way to describe it is the table of contents that you'll find in every Gemara. So you open up a Gemara, I'll just take a Gemara off the shelf. Okay, but here we go. So this one is from the Kiddushin, but here's a Gemara Shabbos, and you'll see as I slowly open the page. Okay, so you'll have these introductory pages, which have whatever it may be, and then all the people who sponsored this fine printing, you're not going to see that in most places. But here we go, this page. So you see how this page is very similar to the one which I gave you, and this is what you're going to find in every Gemara. Okay? So let's take a look through this to understand what this is telling us. At the very top, you see Maseches Kiddushin, Min Talmud Bavli. Okay, so Maseches Kiddushin means this is Tractate Kiddushin, and this is from, as we saw before, the section of the Shas. Shas stands for Shisha Siddarim, the six orders, which was called Nashim, and Kiddushin is one of those tractates. Talmud Bavli. What does Talmud Bavli mean? Talmud is the combination, basically, of everything that's in this book, but really it's a combination of two elements, the Mishnah. Okay, the Mishnah is what was composed by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi somewhere towards the time of the end of the second Beis Hamikdash, and the Talmud, the Gemara, is the recording of conversations that took place in the different yeshivas over the next few centuries, as recorded by primarily Ravina and Ravashi, two of the later sages of that period. Who recorded the conversations. And that's really what so the combination of Mishnah and Gemara equals Talmud. All of these words mean to learn in one form or another. And the root of Talmud means lomed, right, to learn. So all of these things refer to learning. And of course, the Talmud in and of itself is, by and large, it's a stream of consciousness, in a sense, recording of conversations. There is an order to it, but even within that order, sometimes it's a little all over the place. So the Art Scroll Gemara, just as an example, which came out in the last couple of decades, has helped a lot of people find the order and the way in which they do things, because there's no punctuation in the Talmud, just like there's no punctuation in the actual Torah. In the Chumash we have punctuation, but in the Torah there isn't. So how do you know how to punctuate it? So it's a combination of understanding Aramaic, being able to figure out certain elements of grammar, and knowing the way the Gemara thinks. So we're going to get to that, not so much tonight, but in the next couple of classes. Okay, so we're just reading along. So Maseches Kiddushin means Talmud Bavli. What does Bavli mean? From Babel, from Babylonia. Okay, so after the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, The Second Temple, so many people were exiled off into, actually, I mean, in the from the, on the time of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so the Babylonians took them out to Babylonia, which is somewhere in the middle of Iraq, and they established yeshivas there, and they were studying. Those who came back after the time of the rebuilding established yeshivas back in the land of Israel, and so there were schools in both places, but the center of Torah was really in Babel. And so therefore the Talmud, as recorded, was reflective of that time. There's also a Talmud Yerushalmi, the Jerusalem Talmud, reflective of the yeshivas that were in the land of Israel. But for a whole host of reasons, the Talmud Bavli became the accepted version throughout the Jewish world. And while the Yerushalmi is studied by advanced scholars, I would say, and others, the Bavli is the main focus. Now that the Talmud Bavli has been introduced to us, we see many of the commentaries. Okay, and you take a look at the very top of the the very top line, Perush Rashi. Rashi is probably a well-known figure because his commentary appears also in the Chumash and in much of Tanakh, much of the Bible. Tosfos were the original Tosfos were descendants of Rashi, but they also became a whole a school of learning, and so there are many people who are in that group of called Baalei Tosfos. We're going to see where this stuff is in the Gemara. Okay, and not all of the Gemaras have all of the things which we have here. Many of these things do not appear on the actual page of the Gemara. The Tosfos Yishanim, Piskei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Asher, who I mentioned before, he was the father of the author of the Tur. Kitzur Piskei Rosh, most of these things appear. For example, if you have a Gemara, you'll see that once you get past the bulk, that once you get past the Talmudic component of it, we're going to get to the page of the Talmud momentarily. Once you get past that, then you'll see things like this. It's usually much smaller, and it'll always tell you at the very top of the page what this is. So, for example, this is Likutei Rashi. So some summary ideas from Rashi. What is this? Piskei Tosfos, the rulings of Tosfos, extracted from the teachings of Tosfos on the Gemara. Okay, the next one is usually the Rush. But this one is a Gemara, which is a little newer, so I'm not as familiar with all of this stuff. But here you go. Piskei HaRush, Rabbeinu Asher. Okay, so here you have Rabbeinu Asher and his teachings. He's the next one mentioned over here. Perush HaMishnayos of the Rambam. The Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah appears in many Gemaras. Rabbeinu Rash Mishans, Shimshon Mishans, that's what he's referred to, etc. You can read through all these and see who these people are. Usually the name of the book is in much bigger letters. And if you look, especially in the part which has two columns, so I'll just point out some of the more famous ones. Okay, you have the Chachma Shlomo, number Aleph, if you see that, where the two columns are. Chachma Shlomo, Maharshal. So it says in smaller letters, it's Shlomo Luria. The next one, Chidushei Halachos and Chidushei Agados. That's Beis and Gimel. That's the Maharsha. What's his name? Shmuel Eliezer Alevi Idols. And where did he live? Aleph Beis Dalet Kuf stands for Av Beis Din Kihila. He was the head of the court in the community of Ostro. Okay, Ostro. Go to the next side. Yud Gimel, Hagahos Habach. Habach stands for, if you look immediately under it in parenthesis, it says Baal Mechaber Sefer Bayis Chadash, the author of the book or of the commentary. It's actually on the tour, the Bayis Chadash. That's why that's what stands for Bayis Ches Bayis Chadash. And what's the name of the author? Yoel Sirkus. That's his name. And where was he from? Av Beis Din Kehila. Krakow. Anybody want to guess where that is? Krakow. Okay, so you get the idea. Look at the very next one. One I'm sure many people are familiar with. Yudalid Hagahos Hagra. Hagra stands for Gaon Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and it explains Lamed Hei Gimel Mem stands for Lahagon Moreinu. It means to the genius, our teacher, our master, Eliyahu. And where was he from? Hagaon Me Vilna. Okay, so you get the idea of who all these people are. I mean, even the next one, Mar Yechezkel Landau, Yechezkel Levi Landau, he's famous for, and it even says in parentheses in Tesvav, The Baal Mechaber Sefer, Noda Yehuda. He wrote the book Noda Yehuda. And where was he from? He was the Av Bezin of the community of Prague. Anybody know what Prague is? Just kidding. Okay. And et cetera. The one which you're going to see a lot is Yud Zayin, the Gilyon Hashas. And that's written by Lagon Morenu Akiva Eger, Rabbi Akiva Eger, who was of the city of Posen. Okay, skip to the very bottom of the page. You'll see in very big letters, Vilna. Anybody who's ever been to Vilnius, if you've been to Vilna on a Jewish tour, you were probably shown the building which housed the printing press of the Rum family. So look at the very bottom of the page. It says, B'tfus v'otzos ha'almona v'ha'achim Rum. The widow, this is the printing of the publishing company of the widow and the brothers Rum. So I don't know the whole story, but there was a Ram, Mr. Ram, and he died, and he left his publishing company to his wife and to his kids, and they're the ones who are most famous for putting the Gemara in the format that we have now, and that is what stuck. And you open up just about any Gemara, with the exception of some of the newer ones, like the Steinsaltz Gemara is an exception, but just about any Gemara is going to follow the format of what we're going to be seeing now. Okay, so again, this is just a table of contents, and it's meant to give you a very brief introduction to all the commentaries in the Gemara, should you care to find out who wrote the things which you might make your way through. And with that introduction, one more thing. If you look right above where it says Vilna, in the biggest lines, three lines above where it says Vilna, it says, Yoter mimea hosafos chadashos nichbados. There are over 100 editions and new nice things in this Gemara. So everybody who makes a new Gemara, they like to tout what they're doing and what makes their Gemara more special than a different Gemara. Okay, turn the page. All right, now what I gave you here are three pages of Gemara, okay, copied from different places. Okay, and the reason I gave you three is because I want you to see different components to what these pages are showing you. Okay, the first page which you have is the first page of all of Gemara, and it's from Tractate Brachos. So take a look at the very top of the page. Very top. Along the top of the page. So in the middle of the page, you're going to see Perek Rishon. Every page of Gemara is going to tell you what chapter in that Masechet, in that tractate you're in. Perek Rishon, first chapter. Well, this is the first page of Brachos, so it's going to be Perek Rishon, Brachos. You see that? You're also going to see the name of the tractate on the top page. On the right side of where it says Perek Rishon, it's going to tell you the name of the chapter. And the name of the chapter is based on the first word in the chapter. Okay, so this is chapter Me'e Masai, and that's why, so you'll see over the course of Perek Rishon, it's going to be Me'e Masai. Okay, so that's what you're going to see on every page. Of course, the Perek is going to change, the Masechet name is going to change into different Masechet, and the name of the chapter is going to change with each chapter as well. But that's what those three things mean. On the left side, you're going to see the letter Beis. Okay, it's there are a lot of nice little teachings about why the Gemara begins with page 2, but it begins with page 2. You never have page 1, because, again, a lot of teachings. I'm not going to give you any of them. But it always begins with page 2. The other side of the page, depending on the who the printer is, they'll either write Beis Amud Beis, okay? In other words, they'll say it's side 2 of page 2, or they'll write on the back. What are they going to write on the back? You know what? I don't even remember. Sometimes they'll put a number. So that number would be, see, this one doesn't do it. That number is usually an English number. So it's going to be, in this case, it would be 2. I think it would be 3, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it would, or 4. You know what? I don't even remember what it says. In this version, they have Ayin Gimel, they have Beis Amud Beis. So it really depends on the Gemara. This one I took off a computer program, and all the pages that I gave you are the first side of the page. So I don't remember what it would say. But it's usually not double. Is it double? 2, Gimel. Yeah, it would probably be double. I think it would be double. 2, 3, 4, Gimel and Beis would be 6. Dalet. Yeah, it's going to be double. It would be, because it would be the back of that. So that's usually what it is. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so that's that. Now, along the top, you see two more things. On the right side, you see Misoras Hashas, And on the left side, you see Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. Okay, now remember that before, I mentioned that there are footnotes. There are footnotes in the Gemara. Okay, so I'm gonna point out all these things in a minute. So on the Mesoras HaShas, those footnotes tell you there's another reference to what's talked about here in this Gemara, in a different Gemara somewhere else. Shas, again, Shas means Shisha Siddarim, and it refers to all of the Talmud, all the Talmud. So just as an example, what is an indicator of something that's going to go send you to the Mesoras HaShas? So we'll work backwards. Go down in this on the very right column, okay, to the first thing that you see. It's in Rashi script, and it says Megillah, Perek Beis, Daf, Chaf, and you see the two dots? The two dots means it's Chaf side 2, Chaf Amid Beis. Okay, that's the second side. So that's where you return. How do you know that that's there? Now go straight across into the text of the Talmud, and you'll see an asterisk. You see the asterisk? Everybody with me? That asterisk, when you're studying the Talmud, tells you, okay, look to the side, into the Mesoras HaShas, where you're going to find a footnote telling you that this is discussed somewhere else, and in this case, that somewhere else is in the Gemara, Megillah, chapter 2, page 20b. Okay, that's Mesoras HaShas. And if you just look down over the course of the Mesoras HaShas, you'll see references to other things. For example, Michilta, that's the next one. What's the Michilta? That's a midrash, usually on the book of Shmos, but there may be more. But this one is Michilta de Rabbi Yishmael, Parshas Bo. Okay, so in other words, Shas doesn't only refer to Talmud, it refers to other things of that same genre and tradition. What are other works of that same genre and tradition? The midrash. So it'll have references to the midrash. And it also says Psachim Samaches. So there's also, this is discussed in the Talmud in Psachim. And Megillah, Chaf Amud Beis. Okay, so you get an idea of what kind of things are mentioned. Go down, skip the next brackets and go down a little further. Okay, the larger bracket. And you see how it says Ayin Yud, that stands for Ayin Tosfos. So in other words, there's a commentary of Tosfos. We're going to get to Tosfos in a minute. Lekamon Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Lekamon means further on in this tractate. Okay, so in other words, that reference to Tosfos is going to be later on, and it tells you even which paragraph of Tosfos. Dalit Hey stands for Dibur Hamaschil. It's the section that begins with the word Hahu. Okay, I'm going to explain what all that stuff means. Okay, that's Mesoras HaShas. Go back to the top of the page on the left side. Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. Okay, so you see how in each of these, it's kind of like a, not bullet points, but an outline. I don't know. I mean, an outline like Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. You see those? There's a big letter Aleph, then four lines down, it's the letter Beis, and then then two lines down, it's a big Gimel. And then another one is Dalit, and another one is Hey, and then another four lines down is a big Vav. Okay? That's just the counting of the notes in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. Okay? It's telling you that I'm giving you six references here. Read the next thing. There's under Aleph, at the Aleph. It says, there's a smaller Aleph. Okay, now I'm going to tell you what that Aleph means in a second. And then the next things are Mem Yud Yud apostrophe. What does Mem Yud Yud apostrophe mean? It means Maimonides. Okay? Not Maimon. Maimon was the father. Okay? So it really means Maimonides. This is a reference to the works of the Rambam. In other words, whoever edited the Talmud said, okay, the Rambam, Maimonides, talks about this spot and gives you a halachic decision. And then here in the footnote, it tells you where you can look it up. Where in Maimonides? Okay? So that's that. Now, how do you find that? Go back into the Talmud for a second. Look at the very first line. After Mei Masai, that's the first word. Okay, look, Korin Eshma Ba'arvin. You see that little aleph there? That little aleph tells you, go find the little aleph in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah.
Okay, not the big Aleph. The big Aleph is, that's the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, basically saying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. These are my notes. But there you have Aleph. And just to prove my point, go look at Beis in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. You see how there he gives you a little Beis and a little Gimel? That's because two different notes in the Talmud go to that same source. So that's why it's the big Beis, that's the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah's counting, and the little Beis and Gimel are referring to different points in the Talmud. And you find them, for example, on the fourth line. The first word on the line has the little Beis, and towards the end of the line, second to last word, has the little Gimel. Everybody see what I'm talking about? Okay? So this is, again, this is just decoding the all the little things, all the little hints that the Talmud gives you. Okay, I'm going to give you another one. You see where on the very top of the page where it says Mei Emasai, telling us the name of this chapter? Okay, skip through those four lines of Rashi's script to where it says Torah Or in the column. You see that? Right over here. Everybody see that? Everybody with me?
The fifth line.
Yeah. It's not really the fifth line. It's in the margin.
It's in the corner.
It's in the margin. Okay? Torah Or tells you, these are the notations telling you, the footnotes, to quote a verse in the Tanakh, all of the Bible. It says Torah, but it could be a verse from anywhere in the Bible. Okay, and the indicator to that, in a traditional Talmud, when I say traditional, I mean older. Nowadays, I know in the art scrolls, they put letters for all this stuff. And they actually, the art scroll actually gives you the entire pasuk in the margins, which is very nice. But of course, it's always better to look things up. But that's a longer conversation. So just take the Torah Or and follow the margin all the way down to the first time we see something. We should all be familiar with this verse, but look at where it tells you it's from. Dvarim Vav. That's Dvarim chapter 6. Okay, we know what Vav is because we have our chart with every letter equals, okay? So it's Dvarim chapter 6, and look, find the little circle. You see the little circle? Everybody should know this one. Okay, v'shach b'cha uv'kumecha. Okay, that's from the Shema. Right, that's Dvarim, so you should be able to find that. But that's what that little circle tells you. Okay, so that's that. And if you look down a little more, you see it says Rashis Aleph. What's Rashis? That's because the margin is too small. Okay, it's too small. It says Bereshis. Okay, Bereshis chapter 1. And you should know that pasuk too. Look at where this little circle is. Vayere, vayivoger, yom echad. Okay, so this is how you navigate your way through this. And there are other things as well. What else did I want to show you? If you look on the line here, you see, go back to where it says b'shach b'cha v'kumecha. You see that little circle? Go two lines above. You see in the middle of the line. You see an aleph, a Rashi aleph in parentheses. Okay, so 2 points to the person who could find where that sends you to. Okay, where is that going to find you? Where is that going to send you?
I think it's from this
and that. No, it's not. It's not. Okay, actually, there's a little bit of a title next to it, so you can see it. One of my rabbeim used to call that thing on the right side. If you go halfway down the page on the right side, very right side, you have what he would call a curtain rod. Okay, it's not a curtain rod, but you can figure out what I mean. When you see that little rod, that's a curtain rod. So immediately under that curtain rod, it says Hagos HaBach. If you remember on the previous page, I showed you the Bach, that's Rabbi Yoel Circus, and his commentary is known as the Bayis Chadash. Bayis Chadash is where Bach comes from. So he usually makes a small edit on the page. So if you put your finger there, and you put your other finger on the Aleph in the Talmud text, you'll see there in the Talmud it says Detani Be'arvis Bereisha, okay, which means we learn in the Mishnah at first that something takes place in the evening. I don't want to get bogged down in what the Gemara says because we're not studying the Gemara right now. But look at the language, Detani Be'arvis Bereisha, and what does the Bach say? Gemara. He says that. So he's telling you that this quote of mine is in the Gemara. Detani De'arvis Bereisha. So what does he do? He changes the Beis from Be'arvis to a Dalid De'arvis. Okay, now what the difference is when we're actually getting into the Gemara, we would learn that difference. But again, he just makes a small edit because he feels that either there was an error or that this is a better explanation of what the Gemara is really trying to say. Okay. The last thing that I'm going to point out to you now is if you go up two lines from there. No, two lines in the Talmud from that little Aleph. Okay, you see that little circle that has a line in it? Yeah, no, see, but it's not smudged. Okay, it's not smudged. That is a circle with a line in it. Okay, you see, it's between the words chatzos and kedei. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about? So that is not a circle that sends you to the Torah, or that's a circle that sends you to something that's called the Gilyon Hashas. The Gilyon Hashas is on the very bottom of the page. Okay? Gilyon Hashas, and the Gilyon Hashas, so you want to remember who's the Gilyon Hashas? That's Rabbi Akiva Eger. So that's his commentary. And what he says, he tells you where his comment is. Bimas Nisan means in the Mishnah, and then he gives you the comment that he wants to make here. Okay, so that is by and large how you navigate around most of the markings that you have on the page. We saw the little letters. Where did the little letters send you? Ein Mishpat. Ner Mitzvah, usually to tell you where something is in either the Rambam or the Tur, usually in the Rambam or the Tur. Okay, let me just see if any of these were the actual Tur. Yeah. If you look at, you know what, look at number Aleph again in the Amish put Ner Mitzvah, top of the page. So first it tells you Maimonides, Perek Aleph, Hilchos Kriya Shema, so the laws of Shema, Halacha Tes, Smag. Smag means the Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos. Essen Yudches. Essen means the positive commandment number 18. Then the next, I'm now on the third line there in that Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. Tur Vishulchan Aruch. Vav Shin Ayin stands for Vishulchan Aruch. So it's both in the book of the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch. Aleph Vav Ches stands for Orach Chaim. Simon Reish Lamed Hey. So that's chapter 235. Seif Aleph, paragraph 1. Okay, so another thing which I didn't point out, but you have to have good vision. Okay, that's important. Okay, you also have to know what some of these abbreviations are. Now, I didn't bring today. I'll bring next time. I have a list of abbreviations, but some of these you just have to be familiar with, because when you're going through this, you have to know that Mem Yud Yud means Maimonides. You have to know that Aleph Vav Ches stands for Orachayim. Shin Ayin stands for Shulchan Aruch. I mean, these are things which they repeat all the time in the footnotes themselves. Just as you have to know, if it writes, for example, Mem Samach, that stands for Meseches. Meseches means tractate. If it says Tuf Ayin, and then a Chupchik, and an apostrophe, that means Tanis. But how would you know that? The only way you know that is if you're familiar with the names of all the books. So there's a lot of background information that's needed, and that's why I gave you the first few pages that I gave you. Now, just a couple more things. Look on the very left, underneath the curtain rod, under the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. You see you have Rav Nisim Gaon. Okay? So that's another commentary in the Gemara. Turn to the next page that you have. Okay? So this is, what tractate is this one, everybody? Megillah. What chapter in Megillah? Paragrishon. What page?
Zion.
Side 1. What's the name of the chapter? Megillah Nikres. Okay? Now, if you look in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah again, look under the curtain rod. Remember last time we had a fellow by the name of Rabbi Nisim Gaon. Here you have Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, so that's a different... I'm on the top left side. Underneath the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah curtain rod, Rabbeinu Chananel. Okay, so some Gemaras have Rabbeinu Chananel, some have Rabbi Nisim Gaon, and take a look at the next one. You're going to see it's Tosus Rabbi Yitzchak Azake. Okay, so... on the next page. So you see that is... it's another commentary. But the point is that depending on the Gemara, this is from Kiddushin. So in Kiddushin, you don't have Rabbeinu Chananel. You don't have Rabbi Nisim Gaon. You have Rabbi Tosus Riazake. Okay, now, if you're on the Kiddushin page, let's stay here for a second, okay, because this is what I did not do on the first page that we looked at. So the main... the bulk of the page, the middle, that's the Talmud. Okay, look about 10 lines down in the middle of the line. What do you see there? Big letters. Maybe it's 11 lines. I'm not sure. 12 lines. Mem, Tav, Nun, Yud. Okay, that's the Aramaic word Masnisin. And when I say with a Suf, that's a Suf. It's Mem, Tav, Nun, Yud. And it stands for Masnisin.
Okay, that means Mishnah. So when the Talmud is recording both the Mishnah and the Gemara, it indicates where it's now going from the Gemara discussions to the next Mishnah from the Mishnayos. And then after it discusses the Mishnah, you have, look about eight lines down from there, towards the end of the line, in big letters, you have Gimel, Mem, apostrophe, and then so that, right, so now it's going back to the Gemara. Okay, so the Mishnah is embedded in the Talmud text, and that's what you'll see. The only time you don't see where it says Masnisin is like you saw on the first page, which I gave you over here. You don't have to turn back. But over here, where the first Mishnah of the chapter just opens up without an introduction, because you know it's the first Mishnah. Okay, it always begins with the Mishnah. A chapter always begins with the Mishnah. But that's how you see that. Now, if you go further down on this page, I'm back on the Kiddushin page. So you have Masnisin, you have Gemara. Go about 12 lines down. You see two dots, a colon. Okay? Now that colon, first of all, that's one of the rare punctuations that you're going to find in the Gemara. Okay, sometimes it tells you we finished talking about one topic, and now we're going to start talking about another topic. Okay, go another 10 lines down, and you're going to see one word in between two colons. Okay, you see that? Livdoso. So when you see that, that is usually a quote from the Mishnah, or a quote from an earlier part of the Gemara, which it's going to be addressing. Okay, so that if it's such a short little segment like that, it's usually a quote from earlier, which is now going to be addressed again over here. Okay? By the way, since we're on this page, just take a look around. You see, let's look at the Eimish Put Ner Mitzvah. And the first page that we looked at, the Eimish Put Ner Mitzvah had six notes. How many does this guy have on this page? Okay? Look at the numbers, by the way. The first one is Dalad Shin. So that's actually weird. Why is it Dalad Shin? Because what's Shin Dalad? A shade. What's a shade? No, it's 304. But what's right, it's a demon. Okay, so there's a lot of superstition in pages like this. The Shulchan Aruch also, like when it comes to chapter 275, what is 275 in Hebrew letters? Resh Ayin, or just do 270. Resh Ayin is Ra. Ra means bed. So how does the Shulchan Aruch going to write it? Ayin Resh. Okay. Shin Mem Dalet stands for Shmad. That's 344. Well, you don't want to write Shmad. Shmad is destruction. Being forced conversion. So they'll write Shin Dalet Mem because in the number they don't want the number to say something. Okay. It's confusing, but if you know about it, then fine. But you see that he's starting on this page with number 304. Why? Because at the beginning of the tractate, he begins his count. And he continues with the notes on every page. That's why each page has its own little aleph, little beis for the Rambam. But the Eimish Put Ner Mitzvah was keeping his own tally of the notes which he was writing. And so therefore, that's why the numbers, even on this page, start with 304. Imagine it's like footnotes in an entire document. If they don't, sometimes an essay will have footnotes all the way through. Sometimes in a book, they'll have endnotes per chapter. So they have two ways of doing it. Either they have notes per chapter, or they have just a consecutive number all the way to the end. So he has, on every page, notes per page. And for the entire, I don't think it's the entire Besechus, I think it's per chapter, that he has these notes, which are tallied all the way through. So on this page, you have 304 through 315. What else do we find? Take a look on the right side of the page. We have a curtain rod. You have Hagos Maharav Runchburg. I don't even know who that is. Okay, now, let's go back to the bulk of the text of the Gemara. Okay, now on the right, on the two sides of the Talmud, of that middle Talmud, which has the Mishnah and the Gemara, you have two major commentaries. Okay, two major commentaries. Now, this is not. I didn't do this in the best possible way. In the ideal world, I would have given you a spread of Gemara like this. That's not Gemara. Okay, like this. Okay, so I'm going to show you here through the illustration, but you'll get the idea. Whenever you have a Gemara, so there's two pages. On the inside, towards the binding, you have Rashi. Okay, unless Rashi doesn't comment on there, such as in, I think, Nazir, Rashi does not appear, if I'm not mistaken. The last chapter of Psachim has the Rashbam instead of Rashi. Okay, so, but usually on the inside is Rashi. And then on the outside, you have Tosfos. Okay, that's the structure. If you take a look back on our page, in the Kiddushin page that you have, you'll see a lot of little things in bold. A lot of little things in bold. That's because what Rashi's job was to make very concise and precise comments to help the typical learner and studier of the Gemara make their way through. As we're going to find when we get into this stuff next week, you'll see that when the Gemara makes a statement or asks a question, the Gemara assumes that you know what it's talking about, and therefore it leaves a lot of words unspoken. You have to fill in a lot of gaps in Gemara. Why? Because Gemara is having a conversation with us. So the Gemara will throw out one word and say, Urimini, for example. I'll ask you a question. And then it will imply three quarters of the question, and it will throw you three words, and you have to figure out the rest of it.
That's not fair.
Hey, it's not fair at all. But that's what the Gemara does. Okay, so what Rashi does, though, that's why Rashi in the Talmud is essential. Because what Rashi will do is, he'll give you those words, in many cases. He'll give you those words so you'll understand the question, or the answer, or the statement. He fills in those words. So Rashi has many, many comments on the page. Every time it's in bold, that's the quote from the Talmud. The next word is Rashi's comment. On the left side, you have Tosfos, where Tosfos has much fewer comments, but they're typically much longer. So you see the word which is big and in bold, that is the quote from the Talmud, usually with a few more words until the period. Okay, and then the rest is Tosfos's comment. Okay, I just want to finish telling you what's in this booklet, because we're not going to go through it, but you should know what it is, and then we'll finish for today. The next page, which says Maftechos Pirkei HaMishnah VeHaTalmud Al Seder Aleph Beta. Okay, so this actually is the name of every single chapter in all of Shas, in all of the Talmud, by the order of the Aleph Beis, and it tells you where it is in whichever Gemara. So sometimes the Rashi or whatever will tell you what chapter something appears in. How do you know where that chapter is? You have to have this list. And that's where you know. So if he says, for example, I'll give you an easy one. Okay? Let's here. Zeisim me'emasai mekablin. If you're given that chapter name, how do you know where it is? Look under Zion. And it's the first one there. And it's Taharos Perek Tes. Okay? Taharos chapter 9. Okay? That's that page. So that's the table of contents for all of Shas. Next page. Okay, so the next two pages are really the same thing, but just in different formats. And this is the laws of the Rambam. So whenever the Ein Mishpat Ein Mitzvah, for example, tells you that something is in the halachos of the Rambam, so that's great, but how do you know where it is? The Rambam is divided into 14 sections. The 14 sections have names which don't necessarily give away where the halachos that are in the Rambam are. But if the Ein Mishpat Ein Mitzvah, for example, tells you that something is in Hilchos Kalim, how do you know where Hilchos Kalim is? So you have to go to something like this, which is listed here. Gotta find it. Okay. And it's in, no, Kalim, that's Kilayim. Kalim is in Sefer Tahara, Chelek Hay, that's how you find it. And that's how you find Caleb. And the same thing goes for all. It's the table of contents. And the next page basically gives you this breakdown on the left. It's the same thing. But on the right, it shows you the books of the Rambam and what's in them. So if you want to know what's in Mada, if you want to know what's in Ava, if you want to know what's in Zvanim, for example, so those are all listed here, the halachos, in that format as well. So I thought that this would be just helpful tools to have. It's not always easy to find these lists, but I happen to have them from different sources, and so that is what I wanted to give to you. I hope that you'll take these, peruse through them, get a familiarity with the names of the books of the Tanakh, a familiarity with the names of the books of the Shas. You don't have to get to know all the names of the chapters of the Talmud, but get an idea of how the Talmud is structured, so you can navigate the different symbols, the stars, the asterisks, the circles, the little letters, the little footnotes. And next week we'll get into the actual Talmud itself. But this is an introduction to the introduction. Any questions before we conclude for the evening? Head is spinning, right? Okay.
Yeah,
it's somebody who lives one here. Okay, all right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll stop here.